Well, good morning to everyone. Thank you for the worship this morning, worship team and Evan. That was excellent. That got us into the place we needed to be in. Yeah. Excellent, excellent. So I wanted to, in my own way, pick up sort of where Evan left off. The Lord led me to Psalm 92, so you can go there in your Bible. Psalm 92 begins, it says that this is the song of Sabbath, or the song of Shabbat. So this is the song, this is a song about rest. And we have I think we all have definitions of what rest is and what rest looks like. But it may not be what God says it is. So I think sometimes I get hung up on word studies, and I, quite honestly, I'm beginning to not like them. Because what they do is they confuse me more than anything. And a lot of times it's like, well, okay, that means, okay, rest means rest. Okay, so, okay, that helped me. But I really love that book, and I hate to do this all the time, but I really love the book that Joyce gave me on In His Own Words. And I didn't do a lot of this, but I did look up Shabbat or Sabbath. And it's spelled, the letters are called Shin, Bet, and He. Okay, it's three letters. And the first letter, Shin, is sort of the root. It's the root of a couple of really great words. Shalom and Shabbat, or Sabbath. And the actual letter, what it represents is peace, and it represents protection. And in Jewish tradition, that word shalom is used as both a greeting and a farewell. So it also represents the totality of a process, in a way. So that's our first letter in this word Shabbat. Or Sabbath, it's peace and rest. It's completion, and those two are not they are inseparable. You cannot have completion if you don't have rest. You have to have it, and so through that first letter that I'm reading in that word. It's the process of getting yourself into peace and to getting yourself into rest. And the second letter, Bet, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. You guys don't care. It represents God's dwelling place. It literally means house. And then the third letter is Hey, and it is its picture, what it looks like. It has the letter Dalet, which it represents door, and the Yod, which represents the Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit is coming to dwell in us. That's that third letter, the Holy Spirit coming to dwell in us. So the process is, so the word Shabbat is the process of rest. It's not that you automatically get it. It's the process. Because as long, God is still into that. He still wants you to be full. Are you there yet? Are we there yet? Well, no, but He's working on it. And He's working on it with us. A question that you don't have to answer. Can you lose your place of rest? You didn't have to answer that, but thank you. What is rest? So I asked the Lord what rest was and is. And It's funny because, well, what the Lord told me was rest is confidence in Him. And you even prayed that this morning. So she prayed confidence on me this morning. And it's confidence. It's trusting that God is who He says He is to you. And you and I will have rest. And that rest will correspond and does correspond to the level of confidence that you have in your God. You want to go deeper. You need more confidence in who God is. And then you will have your rest. Until then, we're still playing around in the weeds. As Evan so aptly put it last week. Let me see, where am I? So last week, Evan talked about what Paul wrote to strive. If we strive for anything, we should strive to rest. And that striving to rest is striving to know God, pretty much. That's pretty much it, because we're not going to rest unless we know God. Because He is rest. He is our peace. He is our rest. He is our everything. So that's our striving. And it doesn't seem that hard. You're just kind of reading and praying, right? So let me start the psalm here. The song of the Sabbath day. Psalm 92, verse 1, it says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises." And I have to switch this, hang on, because it does a weird thing. There we go. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, and to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Keep in mind, this is a song, okay? This is a song, so it's poetic. But it says to declare. So declarations. What are your declarations? And I've heard people say, well, I don't have any declarations. I don't have anything. But are you using your mouth, your tongue, to utter a noise? I.e. words and language. Are we using our mouth to speak? Then we're declaring. Whether you like it or not, you're declaring. Whether you mean it or not, you're declaring. We are declaring things with our mouth constantly. So we need to find out, are we declaring that? Are we saying something from the place of rest or chaos? And therein lies the rub. So if you're in chaos and you're able to speak from the place of rest, well then you're in rest. And how do you know if you're in the place of rest even though you're in chaos? Because you're declaring the truth. You're not spewing out, we're not spewing out everything that's wrong with our day. we're speaking out of our peace. We're speaking out of our rest. So we need to think about what we're declaring every morning and start out declaring the loving kindness of our God. And so what I want you to think about, because declaring is basically just to tell something, to make known something or to acknowledge something. What has God done for you that you can declare? Because Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." And those who love it eat its fruit. And so you're eating the fruit of something all the time. Because we all love the power of the tongue. Because we all use it every day. And so, how is the loving kindness of God translating in your life? Does God have zeal for you? And you know this 100% all the time. God has zeal for you. Because if not, if you're not declaring from that place of His zeal for you, then you might be in a place of chaos and not rest. See, we know that in our mind, but sometimes in our heart, when the enemy comes at us and puts a dart in our back, what do we say when somebody cuts us off when we're on the highway? Because the zeal of the Lord is there. Are we in our place with Him? Or do we want to use the middle finger of fellowship with the driver that just cut us off? Has God revealed a part of Himself to you? How gracious has He been to you? How extravagant has He been to you? These are the things that we need. And if we have to write them down, we have to write them down. There's no sin in writing down God's loving kindness, His work over us. Sometimes in the heat of the battle, it's hard to remember what He's done. So it's good to write those things down. You know, people say, well, that's... They poo-poo that a little bit. And it's like, well, if you look at a guy like Mike Bickle, who has been doing this stuff for probably 50 years, he writes it down. And while all the people that have poo-pooed his writing down, his prayers, his others, they're gone. They're no longer even following the Lord, really. They may be saved, but they're by the seat of their pants. But he is still plowing new ground for the Lord. And I want to be that when I'm 50 years in the Lord. And so, if I got to write stuff down, I should write stuff down. If I got to write God in my book to have time with Him, I got to do that. Because that's not religious, that's relationship. We do that for our business partners. We do that for other things. Why don't we do that for God? Because it's not holy? That's BS. That's wrong. And if we need to write stuff down, don't be afraid. Because we need to declare His loving kindness in the morning. And we need to... I lost my place. And we need to declare His loving kindness in the morning and His faithfulness every night. And be talking to Him about that. You know, we recently, a week ago today, we celebrated a great event in our family of three. We celebrated what we call Gotcha Day. And it's when the date in history where a little boy named Matthew something, I don't even know that name anymore, became Noah Asher Roth. 5 years ago. 5 years ago, this little boy became my son and her son. And that's God's loving kindness, not only to me and Sarah, but to Noah. He blessed all three of us. And we talk about that. We talk about that a lot, the three of us do. And we need to talk. We need to talk to God. We need to have that conversation every morning and every night. Now there's something about the word night as well. Because that word in the Hebrew is actually... it's only got three letters as well. The two of its letters are the same letter Lamed, and it doesn't matter what the pronunciation is. It means light or fire. So two of the three words in that word are light. So I haven't quite got the revelation on that yet, but I'm working on it because I haven't had enough time to spend burning brain cells on that. But there's something there to the night. There is something important for you and I in the night season. The presence of the Lord, and that's different than darkness. The night is different because all that is a separation of day and night. It's a place that we are supposed to be at rest. But we're also supposed to be in the presence of the Lord. So there is something there. I just don't know what it is yet. I'm grasping at it. So I'm not going to make something up. Lucky you, because you'd probably tell me that was wrong anyway. All right, so to continue on with this, I'm going to go to the actual Bible because I want to read a couple of verses together here. So he says, on verse 3 it says, so we're talking about to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute, on the harp with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the work of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. So some might say to that, oh good, I can't play an instrument and I can't sing, so that doesn't include me. Right? Right. Well, that's wrong. Because I'm going to show you in a minute here that we are the actual instrument. The harmonious sound is basically just meditation. And so it's good to meditate on the loving kindness of the Lord. It's good to meditate on His faithfulness because He has never left you. He has never forsaken you. He has always been who He said He would be. He has never lied. These are good things to meditate on. Because when the time of trouble comes, and it does, you're at rest. You're in the good soil. You're covered. It says here, you know, when he's talking about the instrument of 10 strings, the harp, you know, and the number 10, it can mean maturity and fullness. And I look at that like a 10-stringed instrument. It's got a pretty full sound. I mean, just look what Evan can do on 6. You know, it makes a pretty full sound. But this is 10 strings. And has anybody ever seen a Jewish harp? You know what it's shaped like? Not to be punny, but it's shaped like you. It's shaped like you. Yeah, it's shaped like a you. I'm trying to be punny here. And the loudest sound that comes from the Jewish harp comes from its lowest part. Much like when you're crying out to God, it comes from the lowest part, not from the lowest place, the lowest part in you, your inner man. That's what God hears the loudest. I mean, sure, He hears our whining and our crying and our belly aching, but He actually hears the sound that's coming from way, way deep. That's the part that's loudest to Him, just like on the harp. That's what He hears. There's a second part about that. About the harp and the music. I've long held this belief, and it's not original to me. I read it somewhere. The symphonic sound that you could imagine is in the throne room or around the throne. right? I imagine that it's pretty loud, worshipful, there's music. But if you look at scripture, it says that there's just harps. So there's harps and there's singing and voices. So although that may be beautiful, that's not symphonic to me. There's a lot more instruments that can create a symphony of worship. And so I read also in Revelations, I want to just read Revelation. So if you just keep your finger on, if you want to follow, you want to keep your finger in Psalm 92 because we're not done. But Revelation 5 and verse 8 and verse 13, verse 8 says, "Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And every creature," verse 13, "every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" So, we have these golden bowls of incense, which the Bible says are what? The prayers of the saints. And I read there that there's a minimum of 28. Because at least there are 28 of those golden bowls. Because it says that the 24 elders and the four living creatures. But it says they have bowls. So that's more than one each in my math. So there's at least 28 bowls of these golden bowls of incense around the throne. This is where I feel like we're getting, that the Lord is getting a symphony of worship, because our intercession, our prayers are music to his ears. And they are creating, I feel like these golden bowls are, they're sort of speakers, if you will, that play our worship, which is worship, which to me, worship is intercession. To me, worship is prayer. And so, you're right, so that is going on in heaven. This is why I pray often that we would be in unity with all the prayer houses that are worshiping you right now in spirit and in truth. Because it matters. It matters because heaven is hearing it. Your prayers matter because heaven is hearing it right now. And it's in real time. It's live. It's live to him. It's live to the angels. It's live to the four living creatures and the 24 elders, because they're hearing it as we're doing it. And so it matters. So I want us to keep doing that. And I say that. Why I say that is the music, these are making the music in heaven. This is why our prayers are vital and they are heard on high. So we are the harps of 10 strings. We all have a level of maturity. We all have a level of full. We're full in him. So we are those instruments. So don't think that because you can't necessarily play anything that you aren't part of this, because you are the harp of 10 strings. You are his lute. You are his instrument. And you are to be, you are to be blessing the Lord, blessing, honor, and glory. Because it says there in verse 13 that all of the earth is worshiping God.
Remember that song you used to do
with Tony? Yes. Yeah. That came from that, actually. That came from that. So, yeah, I know that. I remember that well. I wrote that. So, thank you. Because that's what we are. We're his instruments. Let him play you. Let him pluck your strings. Thank you. So, back to 92, verse 92. And in verse 4 it says, "For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work, and I triumph in the works of your hands." He says, sometimes we have a hard time remembering his faithfulness, remembering the works of his hands when we're in the midst, or we are when we can't look past our recent circumstances. Our recent circumstances can sometimes have a bearing on what we're looking at and where we are. Are we in chaos or rest? Remember, this is a song of rest. So we need to meditate on what he has done. And the key, the biggest key to all this, is specificity. Specificity. Don't be general with God. Generalities mean you don't know what you're talking about. Mean you're making it up. Okay? Be specific. If you don't have anything specific, ask God to make something specific. Ask him to do something that's very specific and watch him do it, and then you have it. You have his faithfulness. But I think he wants it to come from what he's done for us. Because he's doing it every day. And then when we go down to verse 6 and 8 through 8, it sort of gives us the other side of the story. It says, "A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked springs up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it's that they may be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore." And there, again, after he goes through this other stuff here, and you know, we just have this puppy, and I hate to do this to you, but this darn dog, no matter what I try to do to him, he goes out and he eats his poop. And yesterday he ate another dog's. And I'm like, "What are you doing?" And God said, "That's the foolish man. They don't understand that that's poop. But you do, because you're not foolish. And you're trying to lead your dog out of that, you know." I know he's just a dog, but it was a good story. So, for eternity, God is going to be exalted for all of his works in you. Because you will do that for eternity. And let eternity start now. Let's start it now. Let's start giving him glory now for everything that he's done for us. That's rest. That's the song of Shabbat. He says, "Behold your enemies, O Lord, behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil." Now, we all know a horn represents strength. And it also represents an increased power, increased dignity. And so this is happening. He is, his horn is being exalted. And that's Jesus. I believe it's Jesus. But whatever happens to Jesus happens to me. Because I'm in him, he's in me. And canon oil, so we're talking about this oil. He says, "I have anointed. I have been anointed with fresh oil," which is interesting. He didn't say oil. Can oil lose its freshness? Yeah, it absolutely can. It can become rancid, and then you don't want to be doing anything with it. Rich. So in the spirit, how can oil become unfresh? You know, Rich had had this, when Rich went out to Israel in 2016, he had these assumptions in his head, right? In his heart, what he was supposed to go and do. But he went to the place where he was last anointed there. And what happened, do you know, anybody know the story? God wasn't there the same way he was there for him. It's like everything changed. He moved. No longer fresh. And he does that to you and he does that to me. And we should be checking him to see if the place that we're at, like for me, for worship, you know, I got pretty dense there for a while, and Rich finally had to come to me like two or three times and say, dude, you need to change things up. You're in a rut. And it took like two or three times for him to say something for me to actually finally get it. But I got it. And so all of us have to be in that place where we're hearing God tell us where the fresh oil is. Because he's not stagnant. He doesn't stay in the same place. In that, now we know that God is everywhere, but you know what I'm saying. Like if you go in to me, being up in, when we're worshiping, being up here is the better place to be because there's more distractions back there. I feel his presence more up here. And so I'm up here more because, and there were distractions here this morning for me named Noah. But a wonderful distraction, but it was a strict distraction nonetheless. But anyway, you know what I'm saying when I say God's not in a specific place. It's not that he's not there. It's just for you, he moved on. So he doesn't want you building an altar there and calling that home. Because you haven't got home yet. We're not there yet. All right, moving on. Verse 11 says, my eye also has been my desire on my enemies, my ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. Sorry, I have nothing on that. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Okay, so this is kind of where we were last week too, about being planted. Planted is being rooted in his house. In whose house? In the house of the Lord. And flourishing where he's planted you. And he talked, you know, Evan talked about being planted and all that stuff last week. But one thing, and he may have even covered this too, but I want to recover this a little bit. When it says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. I'm going to make an inference there. Those two instances combined, planted and flourish, tells me that the one who is planted in his house allows the gardener of the house, God, allows him to do whatever is necessary to bring about fruitfulness. Because to God, it's about the fruitfulness. It's not like the clay can say to the potter, oh, no. Don't make me into that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that. It's allowing the master potter to touch you wherever he needs to touch you, to bring you up. God is the skilled surgeon, and he's your vine dresser. And he is the only one who knows best for you and for me. And it doesn't look like rest or sound like or feel like rest to us sometimes. But allowing the Lord to bring about the flourishing is rest to him. Does it hurt?
Yes.
Yeah. It does, but do you have a better option? I don't. So I'm gonna stick with God. Right. He's my only option.
Right.
Paul talked about it in Ephesians chapter 3. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in. And that's, again, getting back, to go back to Evan's teaching, because it was great. That's the soil. That's our soil. That's what we're basking in. That's what our roots are growing in. If we let it. Because guess what? It's our choice. We can play around in the weeds, or we can go to the good soil and let God have his way. And that means getting you and me to the place of an excellent soul. That's rest. Because you can't know God otherwise. He wants all of you like you want all of him, right? Who wants half a God? I mean, half a God's enough. But if there's more, don't you want more? Yeah, I mean, that's human. Yeah, that's built in. Okay, so as we go on here, so verse 14, after we become fruitful from all the trimming that God does and all the love that God pours into you and the loving, living water that God pours into you and me. Verse 14, they shall still bear fruit in their young age, in their old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. And that just amazes me that you can at 83 you can still be fresh, at 90 you can still be fresh to do what? Verse 15, to declare the Lord, that the Lord is upright, and he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in me. And that's the song of rest. That's the song of rest. That's the song of peace. You may or may not know it, but that's what you're looking for in life. You know, he who finds a wife is blessed and finds what is good. But ultimately, it's not a spouse we're looking for. It's peace, it's rest. And it's found in the good soil of God. It's not in your works. Works are important. They have a place. But they're in the place of rest. They're from that place. They're not in the place of striving. They're not in the place of chaos. They're in our rest. Who wants to be in that? Who wants to be in that place of rest? So, why don't we all just stand? Because to me, those that can stand, there is a posture to receive. There definitely is. That's not religious, but there is a posture that we can take that shows God we're serious. That shows God we need something from him. We want something from him. And it's rest. So Lord, I just pray right now, and just touch your heart. Lord, I just pray right now that you would come into our lives in a fresh way, bringing greater revelation of who you are today, greater than what we knew yesterday, because knowing you will bring greater rest, because it brings greater confidence. Lord, I pray that we would go into that place of confidence every morning and not leave it all day. We remember that in the Hebrew day, it's a night and a day. It's everything. So when we say all day, we mean night and day, God, that you would help us to not leave that place of confidence in who you are all day. And that we would know you in such a way that we never leave and we never want to leave. And that rest is constantly surrounding us. Like light surrounds night. The light surrounds the night. The fire by night. The fire surrounds the night. And the presence of God is in that. He's in our night. He's in our day. And he's always with us. And we can rest no matter what is happening. So give us that rest, Lord. We strive to enter rest, not chaos. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.